Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello and welcome to the America Magazine podcast, the week of November 23rd. This week we feature an interview with Sister Doris Gottmuller, the past president of the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, as well as the Sisters of Mercy of the Americas. Sister Doris has an article in this issue entitled A Visitor's Guide, How the Visitation Could Prove Beneficial, about the upcoming visitation of women religious, and our new assistant editor, Carrie Weber, spoke with her by phone about her article. She began by asking her, considering some of the negative criticism of the upcoming visit, how the sisters could engage in the process in a way that could prove beneficial.
I think everyone recognizes that we had no sort of advance warning about this. So when you get a letter or announcement that says you've got to practically work full-time on a project like this for the next several months, it did cause some dismay. What is the source of this? Is there a hidden agenda? But after we sort of got over that, people said, well, all right, it is what it is, and we'll do our very best, because we do have a wonderful story to tell, so let's tell it. I tried to suggest what are the ingredients that would make this effort worth all the time and effort that goes into it. And I think, first of all, our own sincerity and candor. As I said, we have a wonderful story, and we need to be forthcoming and tell that story. We are used to, in many of our ministries, examining our ministries because we believe that self-examination is crucial to mission fidelity. And so I think if we can kind of get ourselves in the mind frame to think of this the same way, then that helps a little bit. I think we have to ask that the readers, and I can't even imagine who's going to analyze all this, but that they bring a certain sympathetic understanding to it, because I can only guess that the response from the Sisters of Mercy is going to be many hundreds of pages. And you multiply that by hundreds of congregations, and it makes you wonder who is going to read and collate and interpret all this. But if all this effort goes into it, then we expect somebody to read it with a certain sympathetic understanding, realizing that this is about real people, and it's about their lives. And then, of course, I think there's no picture of religious life today that's accurate unless we ask other people, what do they think of us? Is the commitment we've made, are the lives we lead, the work we do, is this evidence? Does this have a good purpose in the church? What do people think of it? How do they receive it? Then finally, I think the report itself has to be transparent. Now, it's interesting, today, November 3rd, Cardinal Rodet issued a statement. He's the head of the Congregation for Institutes of Religious Life, and that is initiating this study. And he says that the Congregation for Religious will formulate no conclusions or plan of action, if any, until the final report of the visitator has been evaluated. Well, I don't know if that's going to be in our lifetimes, because there's going to be such a mass of material. And, you know, it will be the end of next year before it's finished, and then, as I say, we can't even imagine whose desk it's going to land on and how they're going to digest it all. But we need to say, if we know what we turn in, but who interprets it, and what do those visitators say about us? That's what we need to see.
Do you think that the methods that are being employed to do this visitation are effective? Do you think the Vatican can get a true sense of a religious order through these interviews and some questionnaires?
Well, they can get a lot of data, and they can get people's interpretation. Let me just say something about the questions on the questionnaire as I see them. Some of them ask for data, demographic data, ministerial data, financial data. It's all available, but it's going to take a lot of time to pull it together. For example, one question says, in your ministries, how do you help your co-workers share in the charism? Well, now, as a Sister of Mercy, we're in over 100 hospitals, 39 high schools, 18 colleges, countless social service agencies, housing, shelters, retreat centers, long-term care facilities. How do we help our associates share in the charism? Well, either we answer that with a single sentence or a couple sentences, or it would be enormous. So that's the first category. Then some questions ask for interpretation of the major superior. For example, what are your hopes and concerns about ministry, vocations, spirituality? Is she going to consult the members? And if so, how many of them? And how does she weave that all together? And then there are questions that I think really refer to the internal forum, like describe your sister's commitment to praying with the Word of God in Scriptures, to the practice of Marian devotion, or to communal or personal prayer. How does a major superior with 4,000 members answer that with some kind of integrity? How does she know the interior prayer of her members? So I think what I understand most superiors are going to do is they're just going to quote a few lines from our constitutions. What else can you say about this? Or another question is, what are tangible signs of the sister's desire to respond to the call to holiness? That's a tough one.
Now, you mentioned that a lot of the sisters, a lot of the orders have been sort of doing these self-studies throughout their time, and I wondered, what sort of questions have the sisters been asking themselves? What are some that maybe you have asked yourselves that you feel are more relevant or maybe could have been asked?
Well, we frequently, evaluate our ministries, evaluate our, if we have an assembly or a meeting, we evaluate that. How was the preparation? How thorough was the discussion? Are we pleased with the outcomes? You know, when we have an event or an assembly or a chapter, we always evaluate that. I would say we consult sisters on future plans for ministry changes, for instance, or, any significant change in the community. Our election procedures are usually very thorough in terms of involving people in what becomes a communal discernment. The toughest thing to ask, though, is as a result of the changes we've made in ministry, in lifestyle, in our convents and so on, are we holier? Are we more apostolically zealous? Are we more visible to the laity? Is our evangelizing mission more effective? Those are tough questions, and I don't think the questionnaire gets at them either. I mean, if they were easy to ask, we would have asked them a long time ago.
Now, do you believe that the visitation process can sort of accurately account for the diversity in both the size and geography of the women religious?
On the one hand, a congregation as large as the Sisters of Mercy with almost 4,000 members in the United States, this is going to be an enormous organizational challenge. A congregation that's maybe 40 sisters in a single diocese, it's relatively simple, and it can be very personal because I assume the major superior knows everyone by name. I just hope the readers of all this take all that into consideration.
And you also mentioned that you would hope they would solicit responses from individuals who have been affected by your ministry. You wrote about that in your article. In what way do you believe that these voices will contribute to the process?
Well, I think they would bring a certain authenticity to it, to the judgments that are made. And it's interesting, you might say to this, to the Congregation for Religious, be careful what you wish for, because already this whole visitation has sparked a lot of testimonials to sisters. Bishops have spoken out. There even was a resolution by Congress. Cardinal O'Malley in Boston, on behalf of a bishop's committee, published a statement of support for sisters. So that there has been a kind of a groundswell of appreciation expressed for sisters. But, if the visitation process could find some way to consult laity, a cross-section of laity, we might all benefit from it. I mean, if they respond and say, we really don't know what sisters are doing, well, that's valuable information. If they say, I owe my Catholic faith to the sisters that taught me in school, that's valuable information. If they say that the sisters in the hospital or the nursing home or the shelter helped my family at a time when, we were down and out or we didn't know which way to turn, that's valuable information. And it's not information that we can be forthcoming with. It has to come from others who see us.
Do you believe that that the visitation has caused any tensions among religious orders themselves, among women religious, or between the Leadership Conference of Women Religious and the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious, those two leadership bodies?
I'm not aware of any tension between those two groups because we're all being visited.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all going through the same thing. Now, individuals may think, well, the study is aimed at vindicating one group over the other or something. I don't want to go there. I think there might be tension about the investigation of LCWR, which is a whole other process. And that's a theological investigation of LCWR, and that is in some ways more worrisome and more troublesome.
In what ways would you say?
Well, the LCWR officers, and I used to be one of them, go to Rome every year for the last 20, 25 years at our own initiative, at our own expense, make appointments with Congregation for Doctrines of the Faith, Congregation for Religious, Congregation for Education, Justice and Peace, anybody that we think we might have something to talk about, you know, could have a meaningful conversation with. But we're there every year. If they had a concern, that was the time to bring it up. That's what's so dismaying about having the LCWR investigated. We're there every year. If they had a problem, why didn't they say so? That I find harder to deal with. But again, only the board and officers of LCWR have to deal with it. So it's not a concern for the sisters, broadly speaking, I don't think.
Do we know yet whether the final confidential report eventually will be made available to the religious orders? And I guess what reasons the Vatican might have for, you know, not disclosing it?
Not that we know of. All we know is we will know what we personally sent in. Mm-hmm. So that's our response. But when it's all collated and somebody somewhere draws some conclusions and forwards them to Rome, that's what we won't see. So that's what's most dismaying, and that's still at least a year and a half away. What will the visitators, what conclusions and observations will they make? Who will they visit? All that we don't know yet. But we know that 150 or 200 visitors are being recruited, and they're going to have a training session sometime early next year, I believe. And then they're going to be assigned to visit us. We don't know who they're going to visit. A cross-section of the members, the leaders, cross-section of congregations, what kind of questions will they ask? Will they repeat the questions in the questionnaire? And then what kind of reports do they turn in? All of that's a mystery yet.
And how are those visitators being chosen?
That's a little mysterious also. In the first phase, when all of our major superiors were invited to meet with Mother Claire, they had the opportunity to suggest proposed names of possible visitors. And it could be from their own community or others. So in that way, they generated a list. We don't know who's on the list, and we don't know what happened next. Obviously, some people on that list, must have been hundreds and hundreds of names, were contacted and invited. Now, what kind of kept some major superiors from proposing names was the fact that the visitors will be required to take an oath of allegiance or fidelity. I guess similar to what theologians take who teach in a Catholic university. And some people objected to that. So you wonder what on earth these visitors are going to uncover that requires an oath of fidelity. Now the answer is, as of today, we don't know who the visitors will be. We know that there, and it probably is Mother Claire and her committee, who are also nameless. We don't know who's on the committee that's organizing and planning all this. So, you know, if you compare it to something like a North Central or you know, the accrediting agencies in healthcare and higher education and secondary education, everything is transparent. You know who's on the board, who the visitors are going to be, you know what the questions are going to be. You see the response that goes in over, you know, on behalf of you. That's the model I think we should look at.
You think that the visitation has affected the overall morale of religious orders, of women religious?
Well, anything, I think it may be positive, because, you know, nothing brings out esprit de corps like a little adversity. So I think people are getting on with their lives, and we, you know, are going to do their very best. But it is a burden on the major superiors who have to do all this. I can only imagine.
And in your article, you write that you hope that this visitation will be a careful look at the past and will prompt some new initiatives. What sort of initiatives do you envision for the women religious in the coming years?
With respect to new initiatives, I've always been somewhat amused by the words in the apostolic exhortation on religious life, Vita Consecrata, that came out after the Synod on Consecrated Life. In there, Pope John Paul II kind of affirms all of the things which religious are doing, education, health care, care for the poor, promotion of justice, and so on. And then he lists new things we ought to be doing, like evangelization of culture, presence in the field of social communications, service of Christian unity, ecumenical dialogue, interreligious dialogue. So I'm not exactly sure where we're going to find time for all this, but we're not going to be out of ministry anytime soon.
Thank you so much, Sister, for taking the time to speak with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
We want to thank you for joining us for this week's edition of the American Magazine Podcast. We remind you to look online for our weekly video commentary this week from Father George Anderson. We also have a review of the television show V from literary assistant Regina Nigro. We want to thank Bill McGarvey, who provides music for this show. You can learn more about him at billmcgarvey.com. This is Tim Reedy for American Magazine.